Yep. No, there you go. Well, good morning, everybody. Are you all well? Excited to be here?
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe don't answer this one in your head. As you see on your sheets before you and on the bulletin or whatever you like to call it, and you came this morning and you discovered that we're looking at fasting. I wonder what went through your mind. Was it a session you thought, excellent, good, you know, I feel good about this. Fasting, yes, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Or do you think, I don't know. As Dave commented on last week when he discovered that we were looking at fasting on Sunday, oh, that'll be a fun one or something like that. I mean, what do you think about fasting? Is it one of the top 10 things that you like to do for a bit of a laugh, you know? If you think, these are the things that I like to do to enjoy my life, is fasting in your top 10? Is it in your bottom 10? You know, the things that I'd rather not do, you know, right up there with, I don't know, going to the dentist or something like that. We're short. Oh, well, you just have to share. If you've not got one and you desperately want one, just put your hands up and I'm sure somebody would sacrifice theirs. Somebody would be more than willing to give that. That's what we're going to look at this morning, is fasting. And I'm aware, I know for me, if you're anything like me, which I'm sure you're not, because I am unique, I love prayer and feasting, you know. I'm very into the old prayer and feasting. But when it comes to prayer and fasting, it's a bit more of a struggle for me, because I do like to eat. And food is a gift from God and all those things. And to go without food can be a bit difficult. Let's read. Could you bring the thing with you on? For me, I need to turn this on, don't I? I haven't used this in a while. How does this work then? Timer, let's set that for half an hour, 50 minutes.
Make it an hour.
And yeah, make it an hour. There you go. Is it not working? Oh, well, I'll just go through it. I'll read. If you've got a sheet, you've got the Bible reading on that. I want to read to you to begin with. It's from Matthew chapter 6. This is taken like in the middle of the Beatitudes. So Jesus is on the top of, on the mount, whatever, and he's preaching and teaching a lot. And this is one of the things that he talks about. When you fast, don't make it obvious. This is from the New Living Translation. When you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. It's the text that we're going to be looking at this morning as we... I don't know what's going on there. What is fasting?
Going without food or water.
Self-denial. Food. Just food? Anything else?
Water as well.
Anything else? Fasting, and can you fast other things? Going without TV, is that fasting? It's too easy. Going without football, can you fast your football? I had to play football yesterday. They called me up for a special pre-season friendly. Played me in defence. I don't play in defence. I'm aching like anything, but I still scored, you know. Wherever you play me, I still score. Anyway. The own goal doesn't... It was a great goal. I'm very modest. Can you fast modesty? Can you fast other things? Other than food and water? Barbara? You don't, but you think you can, but it's not called fasting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Giving things up.
Is it fasting? Well, we're going to look at that. Biblical fasting. What do they talk about in the Bible when you look at fasting? Does the Bible teach about fasting from football or fasting from TV or fasting from your car?
No.
What is? No, of course, exactly. It wasn't around. So, what is biblical fasting?
Food.
Well, that's part of the thing. And does it talk about any period of time or anything like that?
24 hours.
Yeah, sometimes. Well, biblical fasting is this: abstaining from all food and possibly drink for a period of either 1, 3, 7, or 40 days. That is, if you read the Bible and certainly the Old Testament, because that's where we get the majority of our understanding from fasting on, that's what happened. So if somebody was on a fast, they were abstained from all food and possibly drink. When Jesus fasted for 40 days, the assumption is that he fasted from all food and all drink. Jesus wasn't the only person to fast for 40 days. You've got loads of people. John the Baptist did a 40-day fast. Elijah fasted for many days. Loads of people have done that. And it's for this specific period, for one day, for 3 days, for 7 days, or for 40 days. You won't read anything in Scripture about being able to fast from other things, so fast from other activities. If you're a Puritan, you would say that fasting is just fasting from food or possibly drinks as well. Now, there are three types of fasting which we can look at. Firstly, there's an absolute fast. And one absolute fast is abstaining from all food and all drink for a period of 1 day or more. That is an absolute fast. So for 24 hours, no food and no drink. The second type of fasting is a normal fast. What do you reckon that is?
No food.
No food. What about liquid? Yeah, you're allowed liquids on that. So it's abstaining from food abstaining from solid food for a specific period of time. So whether that's a day or 3 days or 7 days or 40 days, that's a normal fast. And then you have a partial fast. What do you think that is?
Chocolate.
You're cutting out chocolate. You can have chocolate, just chocolate or steamed bananas. No food, but no eating between meals. Yeah. A partial food is abstaining from some food or an activity for a specific period of time. Okay? So you could choose to abstain from meat, or you could choose, only to eat vegetables for a specific period of time. Now, you could pick a longer period of time if you're going to do that. If you're going to do a partial fasting, Lent. It becomes a partial fast today, that activity where people... Who gives up things for Lent? No? A few people? Yeah, I don't think I've ever given up anything for Lent. I don't know why. I think I always have the idea, next year I'm going to give up. I'm planning next year, I'll sell this to you now so you can hold me accountable, to give up, over the period of Lent, to give up all alcohol and to give up my PlayStation 2 as well. That's a hard thing. No, so that's what I'm planning to do. I'll tell you that, and you can check on me and encourage me. I'll have a PS3 by then, yeah. Or an Xbox. All games. I don't know if I can do my PSP. No, I have to. Anyway, so that's like a partial fast. There's a tradition or a history of fasting. In the Old Testament, what fasting was, we've sort of talked about this at the moment, was this absolute fast. So you'd give up all food and possibly all drink for a period of a day or so many days. There was one day when the whole nation of Israel fasted together. Does anybody know when that day was? There's only one day when this ever happened. The Day of Atonement, spot on. So the day when they come before the Lord and, atoning for their sins and all that sort of stuff, and the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and they'd wrap the old rope around him in case he dies in there so they could pull him out and all this stuff. Everybody had to fast for that entire day, the whole nation, on the Day of Atonement. But people also fasted on other times, for loads of different reasons, individually or as families or as tribes. They would fast together for a whole range of things. In the New Testament... how does fasting change in the New Testament? I love the silence. It doesn't change. Is that what you're saying? That's right. Yeah, fasting doesn't change. It was a horrible question for me, wasn't it? But well done, Gilson. It doesn't change. Jesus' teaching on fasting is, what is it? We've just read it. What is his teaching to us on fasting? Yep, so don't show off.
When you fast.
When you fast.
On your own,
really. Yeah, I suppose. So you're not doing it for show, you're doing it for a specific reason. But Jesus says, when you fast. Just when you fast, you know? There's an assumption there. Jesus isn't bringing in a new rule or a new tradition associated with fasting, so we can assume that the Old Testament way of fasting is still the same way. Does that make sense? Because Jesus isn't changing it, doesn't bring any new teaching, just says when you fast. So that same practice of fasting. So a Puritan would say that fasting is only fasting when you abstain from all food for at least 24 hours a day. And some people say that today, that's only fasting. So giving up partial food or living on other things or fasting from your PlayStation is not fasting. That's self-denial. Yeah. You know, you could fit into either camp of those. I don't know. I don't think it's too important, those details. But that's what happens in Scripture. Jesus assumes that you will fast as part of your normal life. In fact, there's three things that Jesus assumes we will do as part of our normal spiritual life. That is fasting, that is praying, and that is giving. When you read the Beatitudes, you see that all the Sermon on the Mount. These are the three things Jesus assumes. He doesn't teach and says, like, just, this is what you do. You fast, you give, and you pray. And I think for many of us, we're good at the praying, and for some of us, we're good at the giving, and for a few of us, we're good at the fasting. But these are just assumptions Jesus makes. When you fast, when you pray, when you give. The early church used to fast as well. They used to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. And then that changed to become just fasting on Fridays, which then became, you know, well, not really fasting, just not eating meat. So what do you eat instead of meat on a Friday? Fish. And that's where we get that tradition of eating fish on a Friday. So it used to be this big fast, but we sort of watered it down a bit more to a one-day fast a week, and then watered it down even more so that you have battered fish. And that's a fast. Well, I love having battered. That's, you know, that's a good thing, not as self-denial. Also, did anyone know where this thing of fasting through Lent comes from? Where that thing comes from, that tradition? Sort of, but how long is Lent? 44 days. It's longer. Yeah, it's long. It's not 40 days. Where it comes from is in the early church, mainly new believers would fast for 40 days in Lent in preparation for their baptism. And some people would do a proper fast, an absolute fast, and fast from all food, maybe all liquid, for 40 days. Some people would just live on a simple diet for 40 days as part of their preparation. Now, let me give you some good news. If you're in the habit of giving up things for Lent, what we need to remember is that Sunday in the Christian calendar is a feast day. It's not a day of fasting. You fast for 40 days during Lent, but it's 44 days. So that means that you can feast on the Sunday. So during Lent, I shall play my PlayStation as much as I possibly can on a Sunday because it's a feast day. Now you might think, well, that's a bit of a cop-off, but you know, how much harder is it if you feast on the Sunday to get back into the routine of the normal fast throughout the week? But it's a day of celebration, it's a day of feasting. So if you do give things up for Lent, you are more than justified to use them on Friday, on Sundays. It's good news, isn't it? No? Some people choose not to. You're looking at me rather blank and like a bit confused, and I've totally lost you already. I'm only at the beginning. Should we? No? Well, there you go. Well, that's the tradition. This is where it comes from. So that is what fasting is. Abstaining from food. Possibly you could say abstaining from other activities. The bigger question, though, that you might be asking yourself is, well, why should I fast? You know, well, I know what it is. Why should I fast? Why should he fast? You tell me.
To appreciate
what you get, yeah? Yeah? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. Sorry? If it's in the Bible, there must be a reason. Yeah, well, what's the biggest reason to fast?
Would it be like a
sacrifice?
Put yourself in some form of hardship.
Okay, some sort of self-denial. Yeah, it's a good reason to fast. Peter?
To increase
power. To increase our effectiveness and our power. Because these, you know, it says in Matthew, these things only go out through prayer and fasting.
Nick? From God.
To receive from God, this is all good.
To give more time to God.
These are all good, but there's one better reason to fast than that.
To lay to focus.
To lay to focus is still good.
Jesus, this only comes about by prayer and fasting.
Well, because the reason why we should fast, quite simply, is because Jesus tells us to. We shouldn't even need to have a debate about it. Jesus says, when you fast, you know, how much more do you need than the Lord and Saviour saying to you when you fast? You know, that's really, it should be end of discussion, shouldn't it? Jesus says, when you fast, when you give, when you pray. You know, we shouldn't even be debating these things, but we do. That is the number one reason why we should fast, but there are a number of other things why we should fast. So we talked about loads of them, you know. Well, as Peter said, it makes our lives more effective, our prayer lives more effective when we fast. These things only go out by prayer and fasting, Jesus tells us. Yeah, when you fast. The other thing is, fasting is a positive, not a negative action. When I look at fasting, I think, oh no, I don't want to do that. This is not going to be fun. This is not going to be good. This is going to be hard. You know, this is going to be a difficult thing. But fasting is actually a positive thing to do. Remember, God is a God who wants to give us good things, who wants to bless us and enrich our lives. And one way that he's chosen to do that is through the gift of fasting. When we fast, our lives are enriched, our lives are strengthened, our relationship with Jesus gets stronger. Now, all these things are good things. Our dependence on God becomes stronger. These are all good things to do. The early church had a great tradition of fasting. They would also fast on every Sunday morning until communion. They wouldn't eat until communion. Now, you might think, well, that's not much of a thing because, you know, when we have communion, it's at, you know, 10:30 or whatever that is. I don't know. Well, 11 o'clock. But remember, the early church used to meet around about 3 o'clock. So they would have communion around about 4 o'clock. So that's the first time they would eat. I normally fast every Sunday morning, so I was ridiculed this morning for not having my breakfast. But I normally fast on that thing, partly because it's practical, because I get here a bit early, but also to try and focus my attention and my mind and my spirit upon worship and upon coming to God and what he's got for me to do on a Sunday morning, which is a tradition that the early church used to use. And I think we've lost that, you know, as a Christian society, certainly in the West. And I think we miss out, because it's a blessing to our lives when we fast. If you need any more reason than because Jesus tells you to fast, well, then it's a good thing to do. Your lives will be better when you fast. What can you fast for? What can you fast for?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness, good. What else?
Direction.
Direction, yep. What else? Yeah, that's good. So it's sort of preparation, maybe. There's hundreds of things that you can fast for. I've got three things which we can look at. Firstly, we can fast for a hunger for God's word. What do I mean by that? Well, our lives today are so filled with things, aren't they? Bombarded in every way. And certainly the written word or communication. Everywhere we go, we're bombarded with information. Turn on your TV, get in your car and your radio, you know, the internet, whatever it is, billboards. Everywhere we look, we're bombarded with information. And the Bible can sometimes just become some more information that we've got to absorb. And sometimes I think we lose our hunger for God's word in the busyness and the hecticness of everyday life. What fasting does, if we fast on a regular basis, is it brings our attention, it brings our mind, it brings our focus into Jesus and our relationship for him and for God, and for a desire for God to speak to us. Now, when we read the Bible, sometimes, if you're anything like me, you read the Bible and you're trying to get through as much as it's possible. It becomes quantity, not quality. Every time we open scripture, every time we sit down to pray, every time we come into church, I believe God has a specific message that he wants to give to each one of us. That's a message for all of us, but also a message that's just for you. You know, to hear that takes time, takes listening. When was the last time God gave you a specific message just for you? If you've gone a long period of time without having a specific message from God, then the chances are that you're not in tune with God. Fasting is a great way to hone your senses, to create your dependence on him, to create a hunger for God's word, so that when you do pray, when you do read your Bible, when you do come to church, you are seeking God and longing for his word into your life. Fasting is a fantastic way to do that. Other way to do that we can fast is for repentance. It's interesting that the only national fast day for Israel was all about repentance, the Day of Atonement, having their sins, you know, confessing their sins and God absolving them, I suppose. it's good to fast for repentance. The challenge that we face with repentance and forgiveness is that it's free, isn't it? The grace that we receive that forgives us for the sins that we do is free. It's fantastic. But the danger is that we can take that for granted. Because it is free, it doesn't really cost us sometimes. We don't recognise the cost that it cost Jesus to give us that grace. Sometimes fasting for forgiveness, fasting for repentance, actually shows us and shows God that we are serious about repentance, that we are serious about not messing around with sin anymore and making a change in our lives. Fasting for repentance is a good thing to do, a good tradition. And the third way that we can fast is for a specific concern or an issue. If there's something going on in the world or in your life, somebody needs help or you need something, or you've got a big decision to make, maybe about, you know, moving house or a new job, or as a church you've got a big decision to make. You know, I know many churches who have held, you know, days of fast every week. You know, on this day we'll fast as a whole church about this specific concern. We will bring this concern, we will bring this thing to God's attention altogether. So there's a number of reasons why we can fast. How do you fast? What do you do when you fast? Stop eating. Is that it?
Isolate yourself from other people.
Isolate yourself from other people. Okay. So it's not always, you're not always possible to do that, though, is it? I mean, if you're going to fast when you're at work, like you said, it depends what job you do. What do you do when you fast? So you're fasting for a whole day. You pray. Okay. How does this giving up food actually help you?
Makes you focus.
Helps you concentrate. Yeah? By denying yourself of the most basic human need. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but if you don't eat, you die. Did you know that? If you don't drink, you die. Basic human needs. By denying yourself of that basic, the basic of all human needs, next to oxygen. And it doesn't say fast oxygen, by the way, so don't think, because that's not a good idea to do. We actually show God, you know, whatever this is, whatever my reason for fasting, whether it's just part of my regular spiritual life, or whether it's for a specific concern, or whether it's for repentance and forgiveness, it shows God that we are serious about this. Scripture constantly tells us to present our requests to God with prayerful petitions. That means to keep badgering, keep nagging him, keep going on. And I often use the illustration of Leah, that when she wants something, she will tell me, and she will keep telling me, and she will keep telling me. She will wear me down. God wants us to do that. He wants us to wear him down. Not because he's a mean old God and he doesn't want to give us the things and he'll only give it us when we, you know, we wear him down. It's because he wants to make sure that we're serious and show him that we're serious. Regular prayer and fasting is a fantastic way of saying that we're serious. God, this is how important it is to me, that I will go without my basic human needs until you work in the situation. And I know many people as well who have fasted for long periods of time, not just a day, not just a week. And God said, well, I'm calling you to fast. And I'm not going to tell you when that's going to end. Just fast. And they've known that, and they've done that. And I'm amazed by that. But the thing that I am amazed by is that they've heard God so clearly in the first place. And that speaks of that regular fasting, that regular devotional life, where they're in tune with God. And when God speaks, they hear what he's saying. So how can I start fasting? How can I get into the habit of fasting? Well, the first thing we can do is start slow. Don't try and run before you can walk. Jesus fasted for 40 days, and there is a biblical precedent for fasting for 40 days. I would not recommend, if you've not fasted before, to go on a 40-day fast. I would not recommend to go on a 7-day or a 3-day. I even wouldn't recommend to go on a 1-day fast if you've never fasted before in your life, because it's really difficult. Start slowly, start small. Pick a day, a week or a fortnight, and skip one meal. Oh, make it part of your regular devotional. We'll talk about that later. Three steps of fasting, here you go. Pick a day, a week, or a fortnight, or a month, and choose to skip one meal. And maybe lunch is a good one to do. This day, I'm going to skip lunch. If you're at work, you can skip lunch, and you can think, instead of eating my lunch, I'm going to pray. I'm going to focus my attention on God. And do that for a couple of weeks. Get in the habit of doing that, just missing one meal. That's not that difficult. That's quite easy. I mean, it will help you as well, you know, get beach fit and all that sort of stuff. But it'll help your spiritual life. Then step up a gear, miss breakfast and lunch. And the same thing, you know, focus your attention on God on that day, whether it's just part of your regular devotional life or whether it's for a specific concern or whatever. Focus your attention on God by missing two meals. And then finally, after you've done that for a couple of weeks, go for a whole day, 24-hour period, where you fast and you give, you know, you focus your attention on God. I would say, well, I wouldn't say, Jesus would say, that every single believer should fast as part of their regular spiritual devotional life. How regularly? Well, I don't know. A month? At least once a month, we should be engaged with fasting. Possibly fortnightly or weekly. Because it's a good thing for us to do. When we fast, our attention gets focused on God. Do partial fasts as well. I mean, that's another good thing to do. You know, give up things like your TV or specific type of food or any activity that actually might get in the way of you and God. If there's things that you do that you actually find you're spending more time doing that than you do with God and with your devotional life, then maybe you should say to God, well, you know, for a period of 40 days or a month or whatever, I'm going to fast this activity. Because I recognise that, you know, sometimes I give more attention to that than I do to you and to your word. Partial fast is a good thing to do, but not in replace of normal fasting, on top of normal fasting. And the final thing, well, it's the penultimate thing I'd like to say about fasting, is that you need to be sensible. Some people have, you know, physical conditions that actually make it not possible to fast. Well, don't fast if that's who you are. But don't use that as an excuse. Go to your doctor and say, you know, I'm thinking of fasting. What do you think? Is it possible for me to do that? And if they say, well, yeah, seek professional advice on it. I think sometimes we can use it as an excuse. I can't do that. I'm going to the gym, so I need to eat my food, you know, so I can't fast today. And I think sometimes we can use these things as an excuse. Be sensible, be wise, seek professional advice. If you can't fast from food in the normal biblical way, then fast from other things. God will bless that. God will honour you in that situation. Why should we fast? Well, firstly, because Jesus tells us to. But secondly, because it blesses our lives. It enriches our lives. It strengthens our connection with God and our understanding with God. And our spiritual lives will be enhanced through this act, this gift of fasting. It's a blessing to us, not a hindrance.
A lot of the fasting in the Old Testament was thanksgiving, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To remind them of the times they went through when they didn't have anything. And how lucky they
were. Yeah. God's important to us, isn't he? And it's a great way of showing his importance to us. Great way of showing our dependence upon him. And a great way for him to speak into our lives and bless us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love for each one of us. We thank you for your word to us. Thank you that you long to speak words of life and blessing and encouragement into our lives, into our beings, so that we may be strengthened. And also so that we may encourage and strengthen other people. Father, about this issue of fasting, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would give us the discipline and the willpower to engage our spiritual lives in fasting, that it may be a blessing to us. Father, help us to be obedient to your word so that our lives may be enriched and the lives of the people we come into contact with may be enriched also. Amen.